Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Many college students are trying to decide whether to go back to campuses this year, and if they do, they might be asked to sign a liability waiver. The documents range from requiring students to agree to rules like wearing a face mask, to assuming all risks of getting COVID-19 or even dying from it, meaning letting the school off the liability hook. But can schools force students to sign these? Can they be barred from campus if they don't? Should the students sign? Well, our next guest says no. In fact, she says they should write their own documents. Georgetown University law professor Heidi Lee Feldman specializes in liability and negligence law and joins us from Washington. Professor, welcome.
Thank you very much, Robin.
And tell us a little more about these. Some students say that the idea that a student is going to assume all risk is sometimes buried in other language about, you know, new rules students face going back to school. So what do these things look like? How do they come?
I've seen every permutation on written liability waivers, some very explicit, saying that if you sign this, you are expressly discharging all legal responsibility for any contraction of COVID-19 while on campus. Others use less explicit language and are put in something that will be called community compact. Sometimes they'll say at the top an informed risk acknowledgement. All of these are ways that universities are manufacturing evidence that they can use later in the event that they're sued for negligently making people sick with COVID-19, they're trying to set the groundwork for arguing that because they've made it clear that an inherent risk of coming to a campus includes getting COVID-19, they don't have legal responsibility to act carefully.
Some are very clear. You absolve the university of any responsibility here if you get sick. But earlier this summer, it was Penn State that was asking returning students to accept that exposure or infection may result in personal injury, illness, permanent disability, or death. The students protested, and so Penn State changed that to a compact, as you said. And a student now acknowledges that Penn State can't prevent the risks of exposure to COVID-19. What's the difference there? Because that sounds to me like the student is still acknowledging that the school can't prevent this.
Simply substituting one word or phrase for another doesn't change the approach to defense that many universities have been taking. In fact, you don't even have to sign anything at all for the university to later argue that you've absolved them of responsibility for taking precautions against COVID-19.
Why, just because you come to school?
So the defense is the idea of open and obvious dangers that are inherent in an activity. Let's think of skydiving. Even if you don't sign a waiver saying that you absolve a skydiving company of responsibility if you hit the ground and break a leg, many courts will say, look, you voluntarily and knowingly exposed yourself to risks from skydiving. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can't turn around and say people had a duty to prevent you from getting hurt from that risk. Mm-hmm. What schools are trying to do is set up that same framework, creating more or less explicit evidence from which they can later argue everyone knew that coming to a campus was pretty much like skydiving here. That's you encountering voluntarily the risk of becoming infected with the virus that causes COVID-19.
I was going to ask you, are these legal? It sounds like you're saying that's going to be determined down the road.
It's legally legitimate under some factual circumstances to argue that somebody has assumed risk and therefore you have less of an obligation to be careful of their safety. Whether that will hold up is often determined on a case-by-case basis.
So you're rolling that dice. But conversely, can a student be barred from school if they don't sign?
Well, pragmatically, certainly. Now, whether a university is going to physically block you from attending a class if you haven't submitted this form is a question of how aggressive the university wants to be.
On the other hand, you obviously are against these. You wrote an op-ed in the LA Times titled, "Your college may ask you to sign a waiver for harm inflicted by COVID-19. Don't do it." On the other hand, we're seeing outbreaks in colleges because kids are partying. They're visiting each other. Don't schools need protection from young people who, in many cases, are not taking this seriously?
Schools always, like any risk-creating business, have to take precautions against people getting hurt because of their activities. So schools have to take precautions against the sorts of risks that might be created by having a relatively young population. The main thing to remember here is that every school had the option of conducting its classes largely virtually. No legal authority forced campuses to open their physical buildings and classrooms. As soon as you do that, you're essentially saying to people, come, congregate, and use all of our facilities. If you say that, you have a responsibility to operate those facilities carefully. No one's expecting them to magically make the virus disappear. And to the extent that students are themselves engaging in careless behavior, there is another defense that's available to schools. When they litigate, they can say, we should pay a much lower amount of damages, even though we were careless, because the student also was careless and played a causal role in their own illness. So when I say that schools should not be able to and should not push for and students should not accept assumption of risk, that's not ruling out the possibility of schools defending against liability on grounds of student carelessness.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So if you take out the language where it says a student assumes all risk, if you're just saying, here's how you have to behave on campus, you have to wear masks, you have to socially distance, and the students don't, they break that rule and they get sick, is the school absolved then?
I'm more comfortable with that because it's not the school saying, under no circumstances can you hold us, the school, accountable for our carelessness. Right. You got to be very suspicious of somebody who says, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I want you to be careful in these myriad ways. But I also want you to say, I don't have any legal obligation to be careful myself.
You say, don't sign anything that says that you will take all responsibility for any risk and absolve the school of any responsibility. Don't sign that. But you say, write your own document. Can you tell us briefly, what would it say?
The gist of what you're trying to do, just as the schools are trying to define their obligation to you, you should write down what you expect of them. You can say, I in no way am absolving you of any of your usual legal obligations to me, including your obligation to act carefully. There's no magic words here. The idea is that you want to be able to say you made it clear that by doing this, that, or the other thing that the school is asking you to do, you don't mean to be limiting your legal options.
By the way, you compare a college campus to marrying a cruise ship, a restaurant, and a cinema multiplex. And you said that students should treat going to college like, you know, skydiving. It is that risky. You also started by saying that schools want to be absolved of negligence or carelessness. I guess my question to you is, it sounds like you're saying you can do all the COVID-19 protection for students in the world, and it's not going to work, that colleges are being careless by opening.
No, that's not my place. Colleges and universities have to decide for themselves whether and how to conduct their activity in a way that doesn't create excessive risk. Can they make their physical plants safe enough that a reasonable person of ordinary prudence who acts with due regard for the safety of others would open such a plant? The fictitious person that the law compares defendant's conduct to is focused on reasonableness, prudence, and safety. If you can reasonably, prudently open your facilities, by all means, feel free. If you can't meet that standard, you should be held accountable for the disease you cause. When you try to have the legal background adjusted to favor your position, you're taking advantage of the liberty-loving aspect of American law.
That is liability law specialist Heidi Feldman. She teaches at Georgetown. talking about these liability waivers that are coming to college students. Professor Feldman, thank you so much.
It's really been my pleasure.